Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 19 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your boy Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster, here with I'm gonna pull a Stephen A. Smith, man. This is a near and dear friend of mine. You know what I'm saying? I've known this brother since he was a young pup. You know what I'm saying? Since he was a buck 50.
Real talk.
since he had the transport backpack. No, I'm playing, man. I'm roasting. I'm joking. Marvin Bragg, man. Basketball player at the collegiate level. He still give you mad buckets. Coach now, currently. I'm going to let you give some more background on yourself, but man, we went to high school together. We were high school teammates. We had a little Twin Tower era. What's up, Mar? What's good, bro?
What's good?
Welcome to the pod, man. Welcome to class, bro.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, bro. Definitely love what you got going on, man. People just, you know, tap in, man, because this is like real genuine content. And you know, just tap in for like show support. Like, it's gonna get better. Like, he has ideas and visions, and like he wants to put out. So as long as you guys are supporting him, like, he gonna drop that good content. But nah, you right, man. Buck 50 wet JanSport backpack until we got the Nike Elites. You know, like, long. And this is like long overdue, but it's also perfect timing because like it's a story to be told from both sides. So like, hey, I'm happy to be here, bro. Number 19 is dope. That's dope, bro. So, you know, keep crunching the videos, bro, on pods.
Yeah, man. Season 3 began right around Christmas.
Okay.
And to give some backstory of the pod for TikTok live stream, that's what it is right now. And for any listener, this might be your first episode listening, welcome. But D Hoop University, man, you can read the bio, but it's a culture. You know, college nostalgia is a real thing. College is a time to, you know, grow, learn, and it's when you kind of have the most company you'll ever have, like, you know, outside of the public school era. But I applied that to basketball because we talk hoops on here, and I like to talk about what it is you've seen, what it is you've played. I approach commentary and analysis from a player's perspective. I uploaded a recent video showing some of my old film. Because it's a lot of people that talk and critique hoops who didn't play a lick.
Right.
Or if they did play, they weren't worth nothing.
Right.
And that's not the basis for how I approach this element, whether it's writing now professionally or giving feedback on the casual. That's where all my opinions sort of come off of. And where this season began, I called it the rebuttal. Season 3, episode 2, because everybody was bashing hoops, man. They were bashing the NBA, saying, you know, ratings down. It's a flopper fest. It's a wine fest, loan management, the referees ruining it, the gambling's ruining it. And what I said on the rebuttal is, yo, if you got all that to say, if you just want to repeat these complaints, you're not watching because the game is fine. Yes, there's flaws. It's flaws in every era of basketball. Right. Y'all want to romanticize and live in the past like that was a perfect game as well when it wasn't. Yeah, I meant to make a note so I can go back and research some more of it, but they don't talk about the help defense rule during Jordan's era. That'll go over a lot of people's heads. The fact that certain defenders couldn't cross the midline.
Right. Don't get me started, bro.
So I'm just saying, man, like, there's eras to all of it. This era that we're in right now, fools are lineups are 6'7" and up. Right. There's more running than ever before. The wear and tear on the body is different because of that. So you can critique it all you want. This is the current game. If you want to improve it, it's not just by complaining. And most of the times I feel like the ones complaining aren't watching anyway. So go sit down somewhere. Tune in the playoffs like you normally do and be uninformed as to what's going on. Like, damn, I didn't know OKC was that nice. Yeah, because right. You've been watching Instagram for 9 months and they're only recycling retired players who want to, you know, still talk about themselves. And right. Y'all are not paying attention, man. But That's what we do on here, man. And Marv, we got you because, bro, you've lived it. You've lived it now. And I haven't really got the summary, so I'm excited to get it, to hear it, to know a little bit more about your college journey. But I'll let you sort of take it from there, man.
Yeah, so, like, I'll even start, like, into, like, high school, like, my senior year, that, like, junior year to senior year summer. That's when the school that I went to, American University, offered me. And, like, I'm, like, the first person in my family to play Division I sports. And really, like, people that I grew up with, like, nobody really played Division I. Like, I had a cousin before me that went Division I, but he was only a year older. So, like, it was freshly new to him as well. I really had nobody to, like, kind of put me through the process of how it goes, of how coaches reach out to you, you know, show interest. Because when I got that offer, schools that were interested, like, they all backed off. And I thought that was really weird. I didn't understand that. I'm like, you know, what is it? But then, you know, with American, like, I signed early in November because I just wanted to focus on my senior year in high school, which was, I think, one of my best decisions because I think I had a really good senior year. And I believe if I wasn't committed, I would have probably been stressing and pressing games.
All,
you know,
the noise.
Like, I have to do it. Like, it just came naturally, and I was putting up numbers. But going to American, looking back at it, like, one of the best decisions that I made. I mean, it's a Washington, D.C., Division I school. Last time I checked, it was, like, a top 100 academic school in the country. Numbers probably have changed, but, like, last time I checked, that's where it was at. So going into it, you know, I was just excited. I had some family that lived out in, like, the Maryland area. So, like, you know, going out there, it wasn't like I was by myself. But going out there, like, dope experience. My freshman year was good. I got to play a lot because our team was very young. You know, our best player at the time was just a sophomore. So, like, we had a lot of young guys. Before we got in there, 8 people had transferred out or graduated. So it was, like, a lot of spots open, you know. So our original freshman class was 8 people. Like, that was, like, my class was 8 of them. Only 3 of us graduated from American once we got done. It was good. My freshman year, started a lot of games. Really figuring out the pace. Like, I feel like as you get into more higher-level basketball, the basketball, in a sense, is the same. I mean, of course, you know, coaching and principles change. Talent is different, but, like, the pacing of it is, like, the biggest. Like, when we hear, like, the greats talk about how, like, the game slows down, oh, like, once I got to, like, my junior, senior year, like, the game slowed down tremendously. But, like, my first 2 years, it was, like, so fast. I'm trying to, like, keep up. My freshman year, like, I think I had a pretty good freshman year. With me, like, coming out of high school, I knew that I wasn't going to be the guy. So my thing was, like, fill a role. And a lot of what I did doesn't show up in the stat sheet. And it never will. Like, I impacted the game more than what a stat would say. And my teammates knew that, like, for sure. As far as, like, leadership, communicating, just being in the right spot, knowing what I'm doing at all. Like, I knew all 5 positions on what we should be doing. Like, defensively, I knew what we all should be doing. Like, so therefore, if somebody messed something up, I can say, yo, you was late, or I did this because, you know, you didn't do that. So therefore, like, all of our communication is, like, it's fluid. We know, okay, next time I'll be there, I got your back. Just go automatically. I will be there. Just believe me. So then going to my sophomore year, my freshman year, I had a concussion. I was out for 2 weeks, came back, you know, got back into the rotation. My sophomore year, similar thing, had a concussion again. Minutes kind of trended a little bit. But, like, starting off my sophomore year, like, and I think it's my best game of my collegiate career, like, statistically, was a home opener against George Mason. And, you know, in college, a lot of times, like, they're, like, paid games where teams will play us to pay them, you know, to fundraise for our department. So that was one of them. And we ended up beating them in overtime. We were down 90-94. I remember this vividly, 90-94. Our point guard throws a skip pass, you know, skip pass. I banged the 3 to put us down 1. And then our point guard, after that we're going to get a stop, our point guard coming out, he gets an and 1, puts us up 1-2, and then, you know, the rest is history. But that's, like, my best game. I had 16 points, I believe 6 rebounds, 5 assists, however that was. But, like, that was, like, my best game. I'm thinking, like, yo, like, we about to direct and, you know, take off. Like, I'm, like, that was, like, my coming out party. Like, I'm here. Now, the season went on. It didn't happen that way, but it's all good. You know, like, things happen. Come back from my junior year. I stayed over in the summertime from my sophomore to junior summer. And I was working, you know, getting back in shape. I worked really hard. But then, like, my junior year in one of our scrimmages we had, I ended up, like, rolling my ankle and my knee buckled. So I ended up, like, partially tearing my meniscus. And, like, I never recovered from that mentally, for one. Like, that kind of really messed me up mentally. I'm like, damn, I put all this work, and then this happened. And then, just, like, I could never really get back into the rotation. Then COVID happened, so I stayed home for that, like, year and a half. And then I was fortunate enough to, like, go back for my grad year. And I was in more of, like, a leadership role, like an OG. Like, you know how, like, Udonis Haslem was on the Heat for his last year, you know? Like, I was with the old, like, I was with the young guys, you know, just giving them game.
Yeah, you weren't there being, you weren't there selfishly, like, I need to do whatever, like, COVID I can happened, right, you know, now. It's like, look, man. Yeah. I got some eyes on a degree, on another degree, sort of. You more mature, wise, part of the ecosystem, and happy to get back to it. I feel it, man. For one, bro, oh, this is 100%, bro. I'm super proud of you, man.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Super proud of you. No matter what any of that say, man. Know that. You made your family proud. You made your folks proud. I hope you made yourself proud. I'm sure you did.
Absolutely.
Because ain't nobody do it for you. You know, you had to make that happen. And I got to experience, you know, college ball at the D1 level too, as a manager for the Running Rebels. I just told you what happened with that situation. Literally might have blew my leg out the night before my first practice with the team, long story short. But you do realize that, yeah, you know what? All 15 of us here, we're capable, you know, in our head, we're sort of that guy.
Right.
And we now have to see where we fall in the pecking order, just kind of sink or swim. And injuries happen, fights happen, transfers happen. No year really is like the same. My 3 years being a manager, 3 different head coaches, quite literally. And players come and go. Jonathan Kuminga's big brother, Joel Entombwe, was at the program. Folks that went from here to the Pac-12, the whole nine. Got to see it. Part of conference tournaments and trying to crack. And everybody is. Really, nobody wants the season to end. It's an extension of you know, a high school vibe almost. But it's at that stage now where Jaden Hardy's big brother, Amari, was on that team. And Jaden would come in and work with his dad in our gym. And I'm working out with Amari, getting extra reps and just working out with these boys. Like, hey, look, man, I'm here. Let's get it, you know?
Right.
It's a dope time, man. It's a dope time. And we played together through high school, which for me, I'm coming up on 10. This is 10 years since Miles' class of 2015. 10 years since, you know, high school graduation, and we had ourselves a squad in what was my senior year, your sophomore year.
Yeah.
You were already on varsity, already literally a starter, and I was hoping to lead by example in more ways than, like you said, what shows in the box score. And it's funny because in some of that, I underestimated the player that I was based off of not having an offer, based off of being a team player, maybe mentally, and seeing some teammates get certain levels of success. And I never was, we were very close. That's what made us different. Mm-hmm. We weren't jealous of each other. We weren't selfish. And that's sort of what allowed us to succeed. But I didn't think I was that, you know, deep. What's also different, tell me how you felt about this in terms of the regional game, because that Southern California talent pool, we are CIF Southern Section, Gar High School, Cerritos, California. That Southern California basketball scene is saturated. Saturated. It's easy to feel like you're in an ocean because there's 7 different divisions, tiers to the divisions, open division, and real ones come out of that CIF Southern Section every single year. Once I sort of got out of that bubble, I was like, man, wait a second, bro. Like, nah, I feel like I'm kind of like that. Like, right. I just realized I've been playing against the same network of folks who are legit.
Right.
Whereas somebody might have made it out of whatever town they're from, and whatever that talent pool was like, you thought you were the man. That confidence level might have let you be the man more than you really were as a player. The game is so mental. It's timing based. It's you kind of got to strike, you know, magic sometimes for everything to really align. And that's why it's a salute to the ones that do, because it's hard, bro. It is, you know, 300 or so jobs in the NBA.
Right.
At any given moment. So there's other outlets to play professionally, but it's not all or nothing if you don't get there. It's really a combination of elements that sort of get there. And even just succeeding in college, making year two, making year three, year four, overcoming adversity is an accomplishment.
Right, right. Absolutely. I want to kind of go back on what you're saying a little bit as far as like the selflessness that we had, because how you felt in high school, like I felt that way in college of like, yo, I know I can do more, but it's also like, what does the team need? Because me, like I've all like, and I learned that through that year, like that year, I wish, like I really wish that we would have won it because of the group that we were, like, and that would have showcased it even more. Like, we were literally a selfless group. And it's hard to do when everybody wants to eat. Like, we all were very capable of putting up 15 to 20 points a night, like, all of us. Like, from 1 to 8 to 9, like, we're kind of, that, like, around that 9 bubble. So we were very capable, but some nights it might not have been our night. Like, it might have been this person or that person. Now, you got to be selfless and understand, okay, how can we, you know, put the team first? Because, like, that's what we did. And that's how we got so far. So, like, I want to amend you because, like, it's not an easy thing to do when you're in the mix, knowing that I can do more. Like, and we know you can do more because, like, you see, like every day we saw it, you know?
Yeah. And let's stay there for a little bit because, boy, do we have a story for y'all, man. We have to revisit. It's like we said, we had a squad. We weren't. Yeah. We were no chunk. Furthest thing from it.
Yeah, we faded everybody too. Everybody caught
I think we were 9-1 in league that year, yes. And that one was a fluke.
Yeah. Actually, no. I looked it up. We were actually 10-0.
Smoked league that year.
We smoked league that year. Yeah, nobody was messing with us. I looked back and I wanted to, you know, look back and see. Yeah, we were 10-0. Yeah, nobody was messing with us. Non-league schedule was popping.
We were the real deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And playoff run, first like 3 playoff games weren't even close.
20 balls. 20 balls.
That round one might have been like a 45 piece.
It was so crazy. We was running through teams early on, for sure.
And, you know, we had a banger semi-final game, which I think got us really mentally ready for the championship, because we had to do it on the road. We had to beat a higher seed. We had to, the gym wasn't big enough to hold us. They had to put it at a neutral site.
Talk about it.
But it was down the street from them. You know, right. It was funny. That was up by my mom's house at the time.
Oh, really?
That was up towards there. It was literally 10 so minutes past the house. That was our neck of the woods.
Yeah, I got family that pulled up, that lived out in the IE area, that came to the game. It was like a 15, 20 minute drive for them.
Yeah. Legit. And that game was a classic. Man, yeah. I think Greg had like 30-something that game. You might have looked at us, but it was a team. That was we were bought in. It didn't matter if Jeremy had 25. We had twins that went deep, you know, that went crazy. They're in the top 5 scoring of the university that they went to.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Jeremy and Greg. Y'all know who they are probably. It didn't matter if it was them. Didn't matter if it was yo night. Didn't matter if I was rolling one night. Didn't matter if Malik came off and start and finished the game. Didn't matter if Evan finished the game. Justin finished the game.
Yeah, right.
Like, we were interchangeable. We were pressing the full court. Mind you, the twins I'm talking about are 5'7", if that. 5'8", you know, if I'm being generous as possible. They were listed at 5'11" on Max Preps. Cap.
Yo. Chill on my twins, bro.
Yo, I know. Those are my dogs, man. All day. They're D-Hoop University alums. They got student IDs here. But we pressed, man. We put up 90 to 100 that whole playoff run. And we make the championship game, right? We make the championship game. We play in this funny name school, Sonora. And didn't know too much about him, right? So let's just get into this game a little bit. We just watched the highlights. Y'all could do it. I'll link it maybe in the bio or whatever. Where do we begin?
I mean, I would say going into it, like, going into it, I mean, everybody, of course, felt like they're going to win. But, like, I legit felt that, like we were the better team. I did. Like, just upon, because how we...
We had belief. We believed in ourselves. We were bought in. Shout out to Coach Roper.
Yes,
for the handful of us that play or were a part of collegiate programs, he didn't. He ran that program straight, you know.
No, for sure. Yeah,
like, and treated it like a college program. It was no nonsense. We were watching film. We were working out. We were freaking going hard. So we had a reason to be confident because now we got to the championship game. Clearly, right. what we've been doing is working.
Right.
It's clearly working. Yeah. And we weren't projected to be that, you know, something like that. And at this point now, we got the school behind us, bro. Yeah, we playing at the Honda Center. And
mind you, the semifinal game, remember, they bus kids out to the game.
Yep.
They bus people out to the game because, like you said, the school is now like, and I like,
oh, that, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We were all likable, all a bunch. And in the Honda Center, same deal. I remember that morning, it was like four or five or six school buses that loaded up to go out to the Honda Center on a Saturday morning.
Yep.
And we get there. We were the first game of the day, but that is what it is. You know, it's like I said, it's 15 divisions and freaking whatever.
I think we're like D3A at that time, I believe.
Yeah, D3AA.
Right, something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get into the game, you know, starting lineups. We had a good first quarter. We feeling good. I hit a three. You hit a three. Justin hit a couple threes.
He was rolling. Right.
We rocked our game.
Right.
Playing our game 100%. And I don't even want to pull the actual scores up. But fast forward, we go into halftime up like, what, 6, 7, 8?
I think let's just say 5 because I really don't remember. But okay, I don't know. Right. I don't know if it was that much, but I think it was like 5, 6.
Went in the half with the lead, you know, and job's not done either way, you know.
Right.
Constructive halftime conversation. All right, stick to the script. It's not over with. You know, we need another 16 out of everybody. And third quarter. It's getting tight. Like you said, it wasn't a big lead because now it's getting crunch time. The other side of the gym waking up, more teams trickling in.
Yep.
It's being broadcasted the whole nine. So, okay, the stakes are sort of getting up there. And it also felt different. We in a big, what much bigger arena.
I was going to get to that. But go ahead, continue.
That is a factor. That's 100% a factor. And the team will give context to the team we had. You know, they might have been a little bigger than us. Size-wise,
yeah,
just a little bit. It, you know, kind of savvy as well. Contrasting styles, for sure. They weren't a team that played the same style that we did.
Right.
Fourth quarter, we just rewatched the highlights, both of us. We both, you know, had some fast break layups. We were up 6 or 7 or so.
I think it was eight.
We were up like 8.
Talk about it. Look, get into
like
it.
With like 5, 6 minutes left. And this is so cold, man. If you go pull up the press telegram video, the commentary team is like, Gar, up 8. Things looking good. And then nothing was the same. And this is 2015, bro. Drake literally dropped nothing was the same in like 2014. he said then nothing was the same. The game ends on a 22-3 run.
Crazy.
We went,
that just sounds crazy.
We went scoreless for about 3 minutes of gameplay. There wasn't a timeout in that span.
Well, there was.
It was a little late.
Well, let's get into it. So, like, we up 8, right? And I know me and one of the twins, this is my perspective of what happened. Me and one of the twins are in the game. And it was a jump ball that happened. And I believe at the time, like, Roper had maybe like 1 or 2 timeouts. I think he had 1. And he didn't call it, which, like, I get. Like, me playing and now coaching, like, I get why he didn't call it. I do get that. I get why. Like, I need one in the back pocket. If it's a close game, I can burn one, whether we're offensive or defense. Like, I get that. So, like, I understand why.
I got a safety to the last minute.
Right, because we're in a championship game. Like, I'm not trying to be, like, last minute. Like you know? Like, so I get that. But it was like they're on a run. It was, like, no dead balls. And I believe you – I thought it was you and one of the twins at the table. And he was trying to get you guys – it was you and Malik trying to get you guys back in.
Yeah, Malik.
You guys can never get back in as they're on this run with no dead ball. So, I mean, looking at it now, if I was playing, I would have took a foul. the day of the ball to get you guys in the game. But I didn't know that back then, 10 years ago. I'm not thinking that. But I don't take a foul. Like, somebody foul, you know, stop the bleeding, bring you guys in fresh bodies, you know. But, yeah, like, just think about that 10 years ago. Like, you blow an 8.
It happened so quick, though, because, bro, we fell solid. Because, really, as they – I think they might have called the timeout even because, like, we had those bang-bang, both of us in transition. And we're like, look, man, 5-6 minutes, bro.
We just gotta hold on.
We're almost there. We know we're not thinking that we're gonna lose this.
Yeah, at all. 22-3.
We've been there multiple times. Like this isn't happening right now. There's no way.
Right.
And legitimately, I'm like, everybody could look like everybody could like feel like they did something, man. Because long story short, we lost the game. That was the outcome. The other team running and jumping on the court. Other team fans, and we had to go and try and hold our heads up in that locker room, bro. That was very emotional. You know what I'm saying? Like that was not it at all. But we all like you were saying, you know, we can kind of look inward and be like, damn, what could I have done differently?
Right.
Or if I did this or if I did that or anything like that. And who knows, man? What I always think about is that if we had won that championship game, I think we would have went to open division or division one for state.
Nah, I don't think we'd jump that high.
Who knows?
Okay, you're right. Okay, yeah.
I don't think Sonora was in our bracket for state, which, like you said, it might have not meant we would have went D1 or went open.
Yeah,
but this is the same year as Lonzo Ball and Jello at Chino Hills.
Yeah, right.
Like, right. This is, I want to say Aaron Gordon might have been in high school up north. Like, this is an interesting time.
Kelly Johnson is still in high school.
Bro, Chimezie
Metu is in high school. Yes.
It was some, that off the top, just off the top of that.
Probably some other ones in there that we can't think of.
100%. And the platform just, I know, would have been different, right? Like, you know, we just wanted to keep going so badly. Right. And we still did, but we wanted to really bookend that with the trophy, and that was the one that got away, man. That was really the one, man. It's okay now, 10 years removed. If we won that game, are our lives dramatically different? We'll never know.
Unfortunately, we won't. But the crazy part about it, right, is like two things. Like, this is like what I was told after the game. Like, when we're up 8, they're in the stands asking our parents, like, our ring sizes. Like, the people that do the rings were convinced that we were going to win the game. Like, I don't know. I kid you not, bro.
I don't doubt you.
Yeah. So I'm like, literally after the game, I was told this. I was blacked out, bro.
I was in a, bro. I went home and watched some Attitude Era wrestling the rest of the day.
Damn.
It, like, in a shell, like, hurt for real. And so I don't recall much of what did happen. Like, I think I might have been in there like, yo, can we get this over? You know me, bro. I'm super calm and collected, bro. Like, everybody, like, everybody's good. Everybody relax. Like, no, man. That one wasn't nothing sweet about it.
Bro, I literally.
I don't doubt it.
Like, after that game, I didn't watch it for a whole year. Like, I'm not joking. It took me a year.
And the perspectives are completely different. Like, I know you still have so much to look forward to. You're kind of maybe like, all right, look, we for sure getting back, sort of probably mindset.
Oh, yeah, I felt that way. And, yeah, it was difficult. Like my junior year, we had got ran out the gym our first year. Teams play these 2-3s, bro. It's corny to me. I get it. I do get it. But I think it's very corny because, like, you're saying that you can't guard us, which I respect. Because our offense, how we had it when Roper had us, and, like, he got better every year. Like,
that's
if you had
team as well, you, Tony, was
it was Evan, Justin. Like, it was, like, we didn't have as much size.
Right, right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
our guard play was there. We had Scooter. Like, our guard play was there, but the size wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I remember now.
So then that, and then, like, my senior year, this is, like, these rules in high school. This is what messed us up because my senior year is when the rule was when we go off your past 2 years. So, mind you, we go to second round of state my sophomore year, and then we were, what, in D2, D2 my junior year. So now I'm in D1A my senior year. Like, ooh, what?
Yeah, right.
We should probably be in like D2, D3. But it's cool, you know?
No, man, we were regular neighborhood. And this is going to sort of transition us into what you're doing now, what I want to talk about, because they don't care about our high school glory days. Yeah, but yeah, that was the one that got away.
Yeah, it was.
The 10-year anniversary. So it was really worth a reflection moment on the pod. And I appreciate having you here to do it with me. But to bring that sort of to the current, because, yeah, I'm almost even losing it, sort of the transition I had. But
I don't know if you wanted to get into the way of like how it is now as far as recruiting kids, because I know we were mentioning it as far as like I know these coaches, which I appreciate me getting in that window like right before of like how these coaches are now wanting to get like that, like the transfer rule, right? That changed. Yeah.
Oh, the piece that I was trying to, that it just came to me.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Riverside, because I left that big pause so that way it could catch you. It's going to chop this up for me. And I know right when it comes back on the back end. Just, you know, you won't hear nothing. It's going to be fluid. The team that we had was organic. We weren't bussing kids in. I might have changed my address, but I did from third grade on. You know what I'm saying? Because my mom wanted to move that far, and I used my granny address from the rest of my schooling days. But we weren't, you know, we didn't have holdbacks. We didn't have transfers coming in, and this is so-and-so from Lakewood, and he about to come do this over here. Like, no, we were a bunch of local kids. A lot of folks knew each other from middle schools and high schools. Like, you know, we were just a regular group at a regular public school that bought in and had a great, and had great chemistry, and we reached our ceiling. We really did max out.
Right.
Current landscape, I want you to talk about it as I get some more water. Is that the same? Because I have a springboard that I want to walk out on and jump off of and talk about the domino effect of some of what I'm hearing and seeing and want to highlight about the NIL era, if you will, and how that has had a domino effect onto recruiting. And how that may or may not influence just younger athletes' hopes and feeling towards athletics in general.
Right.
But let me hear you sort of get into that, because if we didn't say that up the top, but you're currently, you know, getting some experience as I'll let you go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So it's been interesting. Because, like, how this has changed drastically as far as, you know, like, the recruiting process is so different. Like, it's very, very, very different because of NIL. So, like, myself, like, I got out in 2017 from a public school going Division I, right? Like, it's very possible. I'm a living proof of that. Like, it's very possible to do that. But now it's so much more difficult for these young men and women to get out of college, get out of high school and go right to college, because these coaches now are looking for those kids who already know how to go to class, already know how to be in the weights, already know how to carry themselves, already know how to be a college athlete. And then you add on the NIL, which when I was like, it didn't really get into play until like my grad year, which was like that 21 to 22 year. So I didn't really see any of that NIL money. But like now,
You're a living testament of the transition.
Yeah, so I've seen the both of it, like right before NIL, and you know NIL's been around like illegally, like we know people were getting paid under the table to go to schools, but like now it's legal, you know. But yeah, so like now seeing that, it's like it makes it difficult. It's interesting because like I do feel like these young men, you know, should get paid, and women should get paid, you know, because I remember vividly, right? This is when Zion was at Duke, and they were playing UNC at Madison Square Garden. And ooh, I forgot what page it was, Instagram, but they put a side-by-side of the UNC versus Duke average ticket price versus the Knicks. Shout out to the Knicks, who is in the, you know, West East Conference Finals now. But the average game of the Duke-UNC game costs more than the average New York Knicks game. And them Duke kids, UNC kids, saw none of that money. It went to the school, coaches, you know, whatever. Which, you know, it's cool. But, like, these kids are profiting and bringing all this revenue, and they weren't seeing it. Like, just like, you know, I'm kind of going off, but I'm going to get back. Like, Jameis Winston, right? He's the number one quarterback in the nation, and he got to steal food from the grocery store because the man's hungry. Like, what kind of, like, what is that? Like, how is this not a thing where
what
we're... Yeah, like, how are we not able to feed? Now they went into, you know, having meal plans, unlimited food plans for kids at school, right? So now getting back to NIL, like, yes, these men, the young men and women should get paid, but then also it takes away from, like, the actual game itself because it's like, are you going to hoop to, like, how we went to guard, you know, build something, build a culture, build a program
Love
up and try to win, right? Or are you going to go get a bag? Like,
yeah,
you see kids go to school 1 year and then leave the next. So, like, it's kind of harder for coaches to build. I mean, I coach a college season, and it's, like, it's hard for coaches to build a program when you know a kid, if you're, like, at a lower mid-major, right, you might lose him.
Himself.
Right, you may lose him because he's hooping to a, you know, a higher high major school, which, I mean, you want kids to do that, but it's, like, you know, like, it's difficult. It's very difficult. Just to, like, keep it short.
And yeah, we've talked about on that. We've talked about some of that on here a good deal and how we think conference realignment needs to change and how it's not fair that a St. Peter's or St. Was it St. Peter who made the tournament this year? I'm blanking on the school because I had never really knew about them until St. Francis. St. Francis this year.
Oh, makes the
And you're classified to Division III because you realize as a program, the executives and department directors are like, look, we don't stand a chance. We just had our best season ever and lost everybody.
Right.
The coach, the manager, we want to talk about Aura dude from whatever school he was at. Out of here.
Right.
And Robert Morris, I think it was. And those are some examples. Now talk about where the athletes in high school are at in their approach to the game right now. Does it feel the same as to maybe when we were in high school?
No, nowhere close. It's nowhere close. I just think, like, the – and it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like media, right? Like, when even after you guys graduated, like, you had media at, like, big tournaments. Like, we put at Pac Shores at Redondo to open up the year. We had media there tweeting.
A newspaper, a few college, maybe.
But I'm saying, like, it's media.
It's worthwhile.
Right. Like, they're going to be there, right? When you're at Torrey Pines, like, these are, like, big tournaments. Like, right. But I'm saying, like, I'm about to put it, like, it got to the point where they're pulling up to, like, fall league and spring league games, right? So, like, I'm saying, like, it was more of a privilege to have this type of stuff where you had media coming out, where now it's just like an everyday thing. So you really don't necessarily have to work, I feel like, as hard because it's, everything is right there for you. Like, imagine if I
differentiate. Like, we kind of knew when the atmosphere was
different.
This one kind of matters. When now it's like, bro's dad might just be trying to clip him for Instagram, or somebody's got a trainer telling him to do this and that, and he's worried about his own video. It's not necessarily... You see media, you see cameras, you see signs, and like we saw, like Ball is Life. Ball of Life was there.
Right.
You know, this is up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But think about it. But they're there for like regular season games. They're not just there for a fall league or a spring league game. And I'm talking about like local public schools like us. Of course, the private schools with those high talent. Yes, I'm talking about the low public schools, right? Like, they're not just pulling up like that. So, like, now it's so different because, like, kids don't have to, like, these kids aren't as hungry. I know me personally, I could have probably worked even harder than what I did. But I put a substantial amount of work in to get where I got to, right? Like, going to Division I, going to any level of college basketball, college athletics, period, is not easy. Like, you have to make a lot of sacrifices. So anybody that done it, wherever you did it, D1, 2, 3, NAIA, like, JUCO, like, you guys are putting a lot of work. So, like, be proud of yourselves.
Yeah, it's earned.
It's earned, regardless. So, like, they just don't have that hunger throughout. Like, we were hungry. Whether we thought that we were going to go to NBA or not, like, we put the work in. Like, and it's just across the board. And then it goes into also, and it trickles in because travel ball is so watered down. Like, everybody has a team. Like, at least when we were playing, like, those games meant something. nowadays you play a game, it don't really mean nothing. Like, so that has, felt like, has watered down. And this is just me, you know, coming from college basketball to youth sports, like, seeing that. And it's like, it's just not there at the public school level like it used to be. Like, because public school, I felt like, was cracking.
Yeah, no, it was legit. And I referee now. I'm refereeing this weekend. And, like, you know, now I'm in Vegas, so I catch the summer circuits.
Okay.
And I've ref the little kids. Mm-hmm. I've ref the dunkers. And, that boy's a unit. Where y'all from? You know, the whole nine. And I see the skill. So, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm in the question zone of, like, is it a... say the generation ahead of us that says Steph Curry, air quote, ruined the game.
Okay.
Or, you know, James Harden or the traveling or whatever, you know, whatever folks want to say, maybe have taken some elements of how they maybe preferred it away, or even to what we're saying of they're not demonstrating the same energy or the same sort of maybe passion or hunger. What do you think? And you did just answer some of that, so you don't have to repeat yourself, but, like, do you think that's from trying to recreate what they see currently? Or because I try to also throw benefit of the doubt of, like, look, it's evolution. Things are going to, the game is different now. The game is stretched out now. It is for better or worse, you know, analytic heavy or not fundamentally focused.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. What? Do you, like, did they talk about maybe what, like, what they're, it's like what they're going after, or what matters? Do they care after a loss? Like, I don't know. I guess you maybe.
I'll give you a quick spill. Like, I would say, because I don't
share some of what your recent season was, because you helped that Bellflower High School team out a lot.
Right, right. I would say, like, it is different because, like, you have to process what you're watching. I feel like at our age, you know, being post-high school, post-collegiate careers, like, we're able to process the game differently than when you're in it.
So, like, I see you should.
So, like, we know what we're watching. You know, we know, okay, like, the momentum, the feel of the game. Like, the kids nowadays don't have the feel. It kind of goes into them not playing enough. Like, you know, us growing up playing in parks, like, that's not really as popping anymore, you know? Just going open runs in general, like, playing outside of, like, AAU and high school basketball, right? But kind of going into what, like, yeah, like, the kid, like, I enjoyed my year with these young men, and they know that, right? And I brought a level of, it was like a standard that I had, because it's like, you guys say that you want to get here, and I got here. I got there from a public school. So, like, it's very possible, but the amount of work that you have to put in every single day.
I don't want to hear the excuses. I'm not the
guy. Right, because it's like you say, like, I asked them at the end of the year, what are our goals? Our goal is to win league and win CIF. Okay, so if that's your goal, I'm going to hold you to a standard, because I've been on a team when we went 10-0 in one league. And I've been on a team where I went 9-1 my senior year in one league. I've been on a team where we went to CIF finals and lost. And I've been on a team where I got bounced the first round. So it's like, you either want to do this or you don't. And I'm not trying to hear that, because I put in a lot of work when times I didn't want to do. I could have put in way more, but I put in enough work to get me there. So the work that you guys are doing right now, you complain about running and all this other stuff, is like, I'm not trying to hear that, bro. Right? But it's just about the level of care. Like, I felt like we cared, like, a lot more. The level of care, I would say, is not there as it should. Or maybe that, like, they're not expressing it in the right way, I would say.
I think, yeah, I like a part of what you said is sticking with me in regards to the playground element. Like, we might have developed, and generations ahead of us for sure, our parents' generations for sure, we developed a real deal love for playing, period, possibly, you know, in a different way. Like, I don't know, man. I don't think that the middle school have 15 people playing a game, one game, playing with one ball, a game of 21.
Right.
Like, we probably were
in
middle
school.
Fit.
My school fish would be so messed up, bro. I told her mom would be mad. Man, what were you doing today? I was hooping. Polo button all messed up. Like, yeah.
We didn't immediately associate some of the glitz and glamour, jewelry.
Right.
Social media and flu. Like, we didn't, as we developed that love for playing, that's more so what it was. And that fueled a desire for success with it more so versus now. And this is when I try to specify, it's not the current kid's fault entirely.
Not at all.
You
it's not.
You haven't
it's
said
not.
That either.
Yeah, right. It's not. It's not at all. I'm not blaming them. Yeah.
Is the current era where everything is, we didn't grow up in this era.
Right.
Our parents didn't grow up in this era. They can't speak on it. We can give our commentary and our feedback, but they are living it. And it's not necessarily, exactly, like, it's not their fault that all they know is to sort of see and make these immediate connections with this. And at the same time, the little things are just sort of, you know, it's getting off balance, and we're losing perspective as to why we're doing it. I think that's, we don't even have to take it much further than that on that, but that's some of what I wanted to hear, because people love to talk and don't be a part of it. So, like, whether it's me refereeing or you coaching, like, I joke with these little kids, man. Like, some kid had on last summer when I was refereeing, some, like, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old third grader probably, you know, had on some Weatherman KD4s. I was like, you know, I said, hey, bro,
I don't know about them.
Nothing about them.
What? With the cargoes, you know, and the Lee socks. Hey, man.
You don't know nothing about Nike ID.
Like, oh, man.
Shout out to you. But
yeah.
Just on a unk status, old head, whatever you want to call it, messing with the kids now. Like, hey, man, you don't know. What you know about those?
What you know about them? What you know about those?
It's different. It's apples to oranges in some elements, but when you are a part of it still.
Right.
You can speak on it more and observe it more. And it's not just, you know, on the porch. Back in my day, it's not that, because you now have a role in influencing what the product is. Like, I'm at the free throw line, like, say it's a tough block charge call. I'll be like, hey, yo, I wanted to give you that, but you didn't commit. My guy,
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I gotta protect the player. Or just every now and then after the whistle, I'll give them a little feedback. Or, you know, when I'm with the older kids and they want to, yo, what did I do? Like, I'm going to tell you. You know what I'm saying? So just on the fly with it, or, you know, after that, hey, good stuff, bro. You know what I'm saying? Right. But salute, man, because it's one thing for folks to talk about it. It's another to go in and be a part of it. You know, I got my little mans, and youth sports is something that I'll be neck deep in no time. So I definitely want to be a part of it and in a positive, beneficial way. And like you said, too, going way back to the beginning of the conversation, and this is gas, bro, but some of that I didn't have, you know, a real hands-on guide through my high school graduation recruitment stage. I had my mom and what coaches were saying, and you tune coaches out at some points, you know?
Right.
But same, like, we can only imagine some of the game that we'll be able to pass down and how much more set up for success the ones that we have influence over, if they want to pursue that, so how we can help guide and get them there and what might be possible.
But, you know, yeah, and I want to make it clear, like, I do feel like these kids do care. I just feel like it's different. Like, it's different, and they don't know. But they do have access. Like, I tell these kids, like, if you want to just go on a work, even I do this myself, like, if you want to find a workout, just go on TikTok. Like, you can type in whatever, basketball, dribbling workout, or shooting, or layup. Like,
yeah, it's enough equipment workout.
Right. Like, it's enough content. So, like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be doing something. Like, when they say 1% better, you can get 1% better. If you go on TikTok, use 20 minutes. It ain't got to be a whole hour, 20 minutes. Go out there outside in your driveway and just do something, because it's there for you. Like, we all use TikTok or Instagram or YouTube in some capacity, and it's stuff on there for you to use. I think they care. I think it's just different. Like, these kids are different, and it's not for the bad, because, like we said, like
that's every generation.
Yeah, they told us the same, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, nah, it was, I think youth basketball.
The circle of basketball. the circle right. of life.
And they're like our future, you know, like hopefully, you know, we have people who, you know, in the game are better than all LeBrons and our KDs and our Stephs coming through the league, you know. We have the young talent like Haliburton and Tatum and Ant Edwards and Wimby. Like, we have it. I hope that kids behind them come in and, you know, still, like, evolve the game, because the game has evolved. However you want to put it, for better or for worse, it has evolved. Talent is at a sky high. I say this all the time, and people hate it, but, like, the average role player now is better than the average role player back in the 80s and 90s. And they hate to say that, but it's the truth. Like, the average role player is better, like, as far as basketball, like, skill and ability. So it's evolving. It's harder to get on the team. It's harder to stay on the team because everybody can do everything.
No, you're not going to get pushback. You're not going to get pushback from me with that.
Yeah, so, but yeah, no, nah, like,
let's bring it current, man, and that's probably where we'll wrap this thing up, but
okay.
where we've reached the conference finals. Starkey, what's up, man? What's going on? Why are you growling? You heard that?
Yeah.
The conference finals are here. I'm feeling a little, I had to go on record, man. You know, I got the chance to do some TV this past weekend, man.
I seen that, bro. Congrats to you, bro. Congrats. Yep. That's big time.
Wild, bro. Wild, man. And I sort of went on record saying that, hey, I've noticed that my content that I've been making in season 3 is real Anthony Edwards heavy. I don't think I've talked about made more content about one person more, and it's not intentionally, but he's definitely like my new favorite player in the league.
Likewise. Man,
I went on, I sent that take out to the universe that, look, I think it's Minnesota because they can go big. They can play Randall. They can play Gobert. They can play McDaniels, you know. They can play Naz Reid next to Ant. Ant can go point guard. Conley can go point, and we big everywhere else. They can go small. They can go Randall at the five. They can go Naz Reid to where it's five out, and we can not jeopardize perimeter defense or toughness. And it really comes back to Ant. You know, playoffs are a guard's game. The bigs can still dominate, take over, but the guards who are cut for it like that always shine if they're like that, you know, right, at this time of the game, or the ball's in their hands at least. That game 7 got a lot of people who, like I said at the very beginning of this pod, weren't paying attention all season. They now realize how good that this Oklahoma City team was. I wrote about them for NBA.com, my second or third story. And the narrative has upheld my question about them, because I pushed back on them going all the way on a youthful element. Just saying, I think it takes multiple cracks for most teams, especially to win it all. Mm-hmm. It takes multiple cracks. You don't go get it. There's no precedent outside of slightly that Toronto team with Kawhi Leonard, who had a championship leader leading them. You don't just go get it. It takes cracks. Even the first Golden State team, that wasn't their first trip go around in the playoffs, you know?
Right.
I feel as though Minnesota's ready based off of being that close last year. And they didn't, and we're realizing now that Karl Anthony Towns trade wasn't a one-sided trade.
Right.
It was really a win-win trade.
Yes. Yeah.
You fall on the West before we talk about the East.
I don't even want to. Okay. I'm going to keep it here.
Shea was my MVP because I said if he doesn't get it, another guard's never going to get it. What do you want? 30 plus every night, plays every night, plays defense. Team is barely ever losing. So it was, I was twofold. I was on both sides of the fence with OKC. I said Shea deserves it. I said he deserved it last year.
Yes. That's where I met, because I feel like, and we'll get back to the center, but I feel like last year was his time, because this year, I mean, I know they just lost, but Jokic's numbers are out of this world. So it's like if you're gonna pass up on this, it's hard. But that's another topic for another day, because that, you know, but I'm with you on the Ant Edwards thing. After he beat my Lakers, I mean, I was just like, this dude is different. But he is the engine, because you see, when he is going, they go. And not even statistically, just like his demeanor, his attitude, his dog, like everybody feeds off of that. You see Gobert, you see Randle, you see McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander, even DiVincenzo is like, cause you see it.
Mike know he got one. Mike Conley, right. Know he got one.
Right. Sure. So it's like that versus OKC, who's been rolling this entire season. Like, and I had them in an aspect of how the Cavs finished out, how they got bumped. Like, I didn't think that OKC was going to go this far because of that youth aspect. But they're kind of kicking that to the side and like, nah, bro, like, we can really hoop. You know, like, so it's kind of like, you know, but what I really want, I want it to be the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the New York Knicks, because we're going to get, mind you, the whole trade thing. I'm not even thinking about the trade. It's going to be gritty from both sides. It's going to be like, I thought these playoffs has probably been some of the most physical, like physicality that we've seen in a minute. They're like, the referees are letting them play maybe a little bit too much, but like they're letting them bang each other up and get gritty. And I know that Knicks and that T-Wolf series will give us what we want to see. Like, the grittiness, the toughness. Both teams have great pieces, great guards, coached well, and like, it's going to be cracking. So I would love to see Minnesota in the finals. I really would. And I want them to win the whole thing, per se. I feel like Ant Edwards, even though he said he don't want to be the face, he is like, it's his time to like shine, you know?
Well, we need a domestic face of the league.
Right.
And I don't want to say that Jalen Brunson can be that or whoever Tatum. Else or that Halliburton. I mean, stop it, bro, because I've been bigging Tatum up on here. And I didn't even,
I mean, no, I'm just saying like,
you had a point because nobody says it, bro.
Right.
I feel like I'd be talking to a wall sometimes when I'm like, look, man, y'all weren't included. And I said it on here. I said, look, he might not win it, but we should be talking about Tatum for MVP. And case in point, he got hurt. How did you feel about that team after he got hurt? Yeah.
Right.
He did. So he did everything.
Right.
He's a tremendous freaking all around player who just shows up and does the work. And now we can sort of acknowledge that when we lose, you know, you don't know how, you know, you had a good thing until you lose it.
Right.
So it is what it is. He'll be back.
Yeah, he will. Yeah.
But, right. I was pushing. I said, Tatum, bro, you go back to back, get your finals MVP this year. They're talking about you different.
Right.
I hate that it sort of didn't happen. And we don't even we don't root for the Celtics.
No, at all. But like, out of respect. You couldn't
hating on the player.
Right. Right, so, out of respect. And I low-key feel like it may have stemmed from the whole Team USA thing because of them not playing him. And, like, it's like he just came off a championship, you know, trying to push him to be the face, and it's like that kind of pushed it back because he got something in the rug. I mean, he's behind LeBron and KD. People say they should have played him. I feel like what they did was best for the team and as far as everybody roles and making sure everybody was comfortable out there. But – you know, I feel like he is one, and I feel like Anthony Edwards, it should be him and Ant. And I feel like Ant has it because of the personality. You know, like, he don't care. He going to speak his mind. He going to talk his talk. And Tatum maybe is a little more reserved, which is fine. But, yeah, I feel like we should give Tatum a little – and this is coming from a Lakers fan. Like, he should get more love. But Ant, I think Ant's that guy. Ask the guy.
I found it. I'm glad I found it. And I'm glad that you made the reference to the international game because that undoubtedly is a factor in the success that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is seeing, the confidence level that Anthony Edwards has now.
Oh, big
and
time. Yeah.
Of course, those Boston guys and even Halliburton. He was on that team. He was a part of that team.
Yep.
And he even got a couple meaningful minutes in the last game. He got
I forgot about that. He was on that team.
He took his end of the bench role like a champ.
Right.
He sure did. You
know
what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because let me get this on record. And I got it right here. I searched it because I remember live tweeting watching the FIBA World Cup summer 2023, now 2 years ago. I, too, of hashtag FIBA World Cup Team USA and a few. I just said, screw it. Let me start live tweeting. I might have been betting on it. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? I might have been slightly degenerate middle of the night watching games in Turkey or wherever they was at. Hey, easy on me, right? This was season one of the podcast.
Oh, because you was early. You was early.
I was grinding. You feel me?
Right.
Observations from last night. This is the real tweet. August 30th, 2023. Observations from last night. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander looked like a 99 overall against Latvia. Incredible stuff. The last came to play too, but couldn't hold up the second half. RJ might have went 0-4, whatever, no dirt. But that case in point, I saw it that summer. I said, yo, this brother.
Different.
He is saucing on these fools, man. Like, bing, bop, boom.
About damn.
I tweeted during game 7. I said, yo, it's 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Too soon to call it a dagger.
Man.
Because I think they went up 25 or something with a timeout after he shimmy, shimmy, yah on somebody at the top of the key 3. It's very real. Again, I paid attention to this Oklahoma City team all season. Jalen Williams deserves his flowers. The All-Stars, plural.
Yeah.
Stepped up.
But they were talking about him as a second option, and he has proved, he's proved them wrong. Yeah, they talk about
bro's
it. Yeah.
Bro's a real model for a lot of people to try and really actually mimic their games after, because he's another testament. He's not a 1% physical specimen. Bro's like 6'6". You feel
right.
me?
Right.
But I'm going to go out there. He's such an IQ to defend pretty much all 5 levels and continually have worked on his game to be a 3-level scorer now, playmaker, you know, cutter, spot-up shooter. Like,
right.
He's very, 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 very legit. Chetton Hardenstein, I might take Gobert. Nas.
Randall combination?
Over Chetton Hardenstein right
I'm
now.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad.
And we'll see if that does decide it. But I do love, I think every championship team needs a good veteran that hasn't got it done yet. And I see that in Rudy and Mike Conley.
Yes, yeah.
Paired up with, you know, the youngins that's going to really actually get them there. So I just think that Minnesota has all the pieces, and I don't think that they will be satisfied at all with their season ending in the conference finals again. So. Right.
But then on the OKC side, I'm just think this in there. Like, they do have Caruso, who right. did win a ship yeah. with Bron. Right. So, like, they have a guy, you know, who's been there and knows what it takes. I don't know
willing
if he
to do whatever. Willing to do whatever.
Right. I don't know if that, like, impacted them and plunged them to how great they are. I thought, they were going to be this good, I think, regardless, with or without Caruso. But he's helped them a lot. I don't know, like, on the call, I don't know as far, like, their mental to get them over the hump mentally. But I'm with you. Like it's going to come down, I thought, to the bigs, like being consistent. Like, we see Randall, he's a hooper. Like, in New York to now, I low-key like him now with the T-Wolves. Like, he gets to his spots, you know, and is able to, like, really make stuff happen.
Anthony Towns wasn't getting the triple-double for them last year.
Yeah, not for them. But, like, with the Knicks, right. he's doing a great job. Like, it just...
Right.
Yeah, like... And I thought that it was a one-sided trade. I agree with you, but like, it benefited both teams tremendously, yeah. and
they're
it
not
panned out perfectly.
Towns right now,
right, and they're not missing.
It
Randall.
Would be poetic for them to reach the finals, making this transition to the East.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movement happening in Indiana when it comes to basketball, because that means we're talking Fever and we're talking Pacers.
You're onto something.
We might recognize it in hindsight, but. They might be emerging as, you know, a little darling or America's sweetheart city type of situation. I've been to Indianapolis, too. It's a dope city. I'm not mad at Indianapolis.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I got to go to a conference out there before. It's a nice city. They got culture. You
okay,
know,
okay.
Shout out to Pat McAfee.
Hey.
12 deep. And you rarely say that about a playoff team and mean it. You know what I mean? New York. It'd be fantastic for it. So I'm not rooting. There's no loser. We've seen the graphics. All of these champions will be first-time champions in decades or their first yep. ever.
Right.
So we're in for something special. New York, man, knock on wood always, but somebody roll an ankle, somebody pop a hammy, somebody get a tech, somebody get elbowed in the mouth, somebody get in foul trouble a couple of games. Cough, cough, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Right.
And I think Indiana is just going to hoop those boys out of there.
So I am.
Wait,
I
think you think that Indiana about to beat the Knicks? Then I'm not mad, because Indiana has proven us wrong twice. And if you look at it, like beating the Bucks, I had the Bucks winning, me personally, and then I had the Cavs beating them as well. So I'm not mad at that.
We talked about chopping Dang. Wood.
Okay.
They were conference finals last year. And I have my boy Terrell Emerson on here. He's editor-in-chief for Talk That Talk. Me and him have been locked in since UNLV. And he covers everything professionally as well. And he's a Pacers fan, but he's from Inglewood. He went to Crenshaw. Not Crenshaw. He went to Westchester. Cerritos College. He's my dog for real now. He's a Pacer fan for whatever reason. Okay. Shout out mm-hmm. to him. This ain't hate. If the rev you listen, right. This ain't hate. I had him on here a couple episodes back, and I was like, talk to me about your Pacers, bro. Round one, y'all got Milwaukee again. I don't want you to downplay him, because I know you're going to be like, look, man, I don't want to get my hopes up. No, talk about your boys. What needs to happen? In the right. videos on my TikTok right now, and he put it perfectly. He said, man, the Pacers, man, they need the perfect storm. Not going to say that they can't do it, but they need a lot of things to go their way. They need to not see Boston, is what he said first and foremost. I said, if you, again, knock on wood, if something happened that could, we saw what happened in round one. They still took care of business, though. They were the better team than Milwaukee on the court for that
right.
series.
Right, right, yeah.
And they caught a Cleveland that wasn't in stride. They didn't look like
that
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that
but
was
it
crazy.
It wasn't a fluke. What was that, five games, or did it end up going six? Did it end up going six?
I thought it was five. Way. Yeah,
right.
It was nasty.
I think so too.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
They are operating. They kind of remind me of us back in the day, and I've said that they remind me of, they're kind of run and gun Phoenix Suns, 2, 3.0.
Right.
In terms of the point guard is going to get it to everybody.
Right.
And you have to respect everybody, because they play with trust in each other, sort of, and in the system. And I just think that they have, if a couple things go left for New York, Indiana just will not go away for four quarters. So y'all have to really get them out of here. I'm similarly pulling for New York, because the narrative is great and the attention is great. And they say that about the Raiders out here in Vegas. We say the NFL is better when the Raiders are good. The NBA is better when the Knicks are relevant like this. So,
right, right.
As a fan, I'm not against it, but that is kind of where I'm leaning.
I would say, because I kind of have two rebuttals. I'm trying to pull up who the Knicks played, so it can factor in to for me, I feel like matchups play a big piece. Like, I feel like this year's first round matchups were so beautiful on both sides. Besides the OKC and Grizzly series, everything else I felt like was like amazing, like beautiful.
Right, no,
I loved every matchup.
And yeah, right. No, it was competitive.
Right. So me going into this is like with this whole Indiana thing, like they played the Bucks, who no Dame, right? You play the Cavs, who show me like they were the old Atlanta Hawks, who Bron sweep, or the old Toronto number one seed, who Bron come and sweep. I'm not saying the Patriots are them, but like that's what I see. But then you go into the Knicks. Like, the Knicks went through Detroit, who was another young up-and-coming team, and then they beat the defending champs. It's like, I don't think Indiana so far in the playoffs has seen a team like the Knicks, where the Knicks, I feel like, are very prepared, because they beat a young team in, with Detroit, and they beat the defending champs. Like, I feel like, because Haliburton, great player, but he doesn't give me like an Ant Edward vibe or a Brunson or Shea, who like can go out there and really give you 30 every night, right? Nah, I'm not saying he can't, but that's not his game. His game, he says, is get everybody involved. So my thing is like, this is all hypothetical, right? It may or may not happen, but what if your guys aren't hitting shots? Like, what is the next option? Because if Brunson, if he passing the ball and guys ain't hitting shots, he about to put his head down, get to his little mid-range, and get to his business, right? If Ant Edwards passing the ball, everybody, all these other star players, if your guys aren't doing the job, they can take over. Like, his takeover is, let me get 15 to 18 assists, which is great. That's just his playing style. It works for them. But now we in the, you know, now we in deeper into the playoffs. Like, I'm going to give you that perspective.
I feel it. Of like, what if them going through Detroit, for example, and as rowdy as their fans were and as physical as those games were. And
right.
The chippiness of it. Indiana has sort of they have sort of gotten they've been dealt a favorable hand.
Right. And I'm not blaming them. Like, they took care of business, as they should. But the path, you know, it just ain't the same.
Yeah. New York wouldn't beat a healthy Boston twice. And we're probably going to get them out of here.
Right.
So I'm with you, bro. I won't do that to New York, man.
Yeah.
I want to say it because my boy talked about the perfect storm and it's sort of lining up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want us to act. Everybody wants to be shocked. I'm like, look, if you've been watching, bro, you know, some of the signs were there, but.
Right.
Hopefully New York does go.
So all in all, who do you think is going to win? Like, you think it's going to be a Western Conference team, Eastern Conference team, or it matters who matches up with who?
You know, if the Knicks go, they'll have so much support that it might be like destiny type of situation.
I feel that. Like they got to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if not, Anthony Edwards is about to Grim Reaper these boys, and at the same time, the team that had the best record all season long, outside of that Cleveland undefeated start, being the Oklahoma City Thunder, they might just, it's up for grabs. So this part is fun. I didn't really want this episode to be too, you know, I'm on the record, just because these won't be too long series.
They are, yes. It'll be gritty.
It's going to have pivots and potential comebacks. And right now, it's one game at a time. So let's see. I have a hunch, but it won't be decided after game one.
No, not at all. And my last thing that I'm observing is because this is now the Timberwolves' second time getting there, right? Do you feel as if, I think there's only one team window that may close, as far as the window. Is it a Knicks situation where, it's a must-win for the Knicks? Because if you don't do it now, you're going to have teams coming back the next year, right? It's as far as for OKC, if they miss, OKC and Indiana, I felt like they may have an opportunity to get back there because they're young. You keep everybody together, keep everybody happy financially. Y'all can run it back.
Who has the most urgency right now?
Right, who really has to win it right now? Because they don't win it. Who do you think has to get it done right now? Because I think that matters.
For reputation's sake, Oklahoma City saved their image a whole lot by escaping that Denver series, and they caught some breaks as well.
Okay.
But it was really OKC, if y'all flame out right now, you will not be taken seriously.
No more.
Going forward until you go and win the finals or something.
Right.
But they would have lost a lot of credibility if they didn't at least get to here.
Right.
But I don't think that it's must win. I do think the pressure is higher on the two Western Conference teams just because of who they'll be, how the deck will be reloaded again next year with Golden State back in the mix, Houston back in the mix, San Antonio back in the mix, Memphis back in the mix, Phoenix, whatever they decide to do.
Lakers, hopefully.
Of course, man.
Right.
The Clippers.
Right. Another one. Yeah.
Dallas,
hello.
It's I think that those two teams, that side has to recognize that, look, it is no time like the present. We can't smile after we lose game one like Shea did in Denver. And shout out to him because he smiled at the end of the series, too. Man, this is what we do. If it's good, it looks cool when it works out. But I don't want to see no smiling in this series. I need to see toughness, and that's why I do side with Minnesota, because there's more dog. And I'm not gonna say Caruso and J-Dub and even Chet, some of these guys aren't tough,
right?
But I need to see assertion of your will a bit more. I need to see somebody get a technical. I need to see a coach get a technical. I need to see, like, nah, BS. Like, this will not happen on our watch type of situation. And, you know, even the Celtics, they knock Tatum for being soft or corny. That's the weirdest commentary to me. People talking about, like, what are you talking about? He's a grown man. Like, even still, they got some of that energy behind them of like, look, I'm a passively talk my stuff, but I do it every year.
Right.
So talking is really beneath me, but I'm gonna start. And they was doing all of this against, you know, earlier in the year. Tatum started getting in the ref's face this year. I like that. Those are things I do want to see. In the East, their foot might not be on the gas as much. That's a good point, though. That is a good point. It's who is going to show up hungrier, basically, still.
Because your window can close.
Everybody's going to say they are. Right. That window ain't open.
Because I saw a graphic, like, we've had a different champ. I forgot how far ago it was. We had a different champion like every year, I think, since the Raptors, what I believe it was.
Or back to backs, no repeat since the Warriors.
Yeah, right. So that's what I'm just curious because I know, like you said, for the West, they got to press because a lot of teams are going to be coming out the West next year. The East is kind of like, I thought it was Boston's. If he doesn't get hurt, I thought it was Boston's conference.
I did too. Like, I thought they'd be back this year.
Right. I thought it was their conference. They were the best team to bring everybody back. Like, but yeah, no, yeah,
we don't know what's going on with Philly and Orlando will be back, but like, you start looking. So some of these teams will be back.
Right.
But
it's interesting to see. It's interesting to see.
Nah, bro, we did the thing, man.
Definitely, man. This is great, bro. I definitely want to be back. Cause this is cool. Like, I just like being in open spaces, being able to just talk. I mean, we didn't want to really get in depth to things. We can at a later date.
This won't be the last. Oh,
no, for sure. Definitely the first of many, for sure. But I definitely, man, appreciate, you know, just coming on here, being able to chop it up. It's just like, you're just chopping it up like old times, you know? A lot of stories, bro. Like I said, definitely appreciate what you got going on. Because I feel like it's like just real genuine, like media, I would say. And we try to just keep it as real as we can, you know? Because like you say, you know, some of us have played, some of us haven't. So like our experiences are going to be different. But just try to like keep it, you know, consistent. I've learned to just be real, you know, when you're speaking, whether it's amongst your boys about sports, talking to other coaches about sports, just trying to be more real. When I was younger, I used to say whatever, Lakers gonna win every year. Nah, they ain't the real no more. You know, even though I want that to happen, that's not real. We have to really talk about sports.
Yeah, there's plenty to talk about than crying about whatever it is they on there talking about.
Right.
And that's where we come from. We true to the game. We respect the game. And that does stand out, hopefully. So I appreciate bro. And that's why I got you on here, man. You hear him talking, you would think my man is in his 30s. Like, yeah, nah, man. He's a mature.
Yeah.
He's a very mature, you know, if you feel me, young man, bro. I'm proud of you. Proud to have you, man.
We appreciate it.
In still, bro. That's all that this was, too. We definitely locked in.
I'm going to
get you a welcome shirt. I'm going to get you a student ID.
I need all that, baby. Yes, sir.
You feel me? A meal plan. Give us some time. You know, the summer's coming up. A lot of staff got vacation. You feel me?
I might need that express. I got to go.
It's just me, Oof. Nah, first class, bro. First class. Top flight. Marvin Bragg, man. It's a pleasure to have you, Mark.
Sir.
Like, follow, subscribe. Don't be a stranger. Do your homework. Leave a show a review. Please. Leave it, like, follow, you know, engage, interact.
Yes. Yeah,
that's your only homework. All right. Pass or fail.
Yeah.
Till next